Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
If you're thinking about fixing your old car, or maybe you're considering buying a new one, Joey Donnelly from Crofton Motors in Dublin is with us this Tuesday for Ask the Expert. Joey, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Is this, I wouldn't have thought the summer was a busy time for car purchasing, is it?
To be honest, well, July is always a busy because it's the second half of the year. So you've got the two reg coming out. So they'll be gearing up for that now. Yeah, so it'll be quite busy. Look, all year round these days is busy enough time. There's never a good or a bad time. I think the regs are less important than ever. I think it's more just about where you are and when you're ready to buy.
Eileen has got in touch. She's thinking of buying a new electric car. She currently has a Corolla hybrid hatchback, looking for something of similar size, also in a hatchback. Any suggestions for Eileen?
Well, if staying in the Toyota brand, and obviously you might like the Toyota brand, the hybrid, and now stepping into full electric, I'm sure Toyota have a good few options. A lot of the manufacturers now are going for more kind of crossover style, so mini Jeeps, for want of a better expression, and they're lovely and comfortable for getting in and out of. The Corolla, I know, is a little bit lower and a little bit more awkward getting in or out, so a lot of the manufacturers are now going for this mini Jeep style. So in the, if you're moving up from a Corolla, the Yaris Cross or the Corolla Cross are a brilliant option in Toyota.
Yeah.
Then across the other brands, there's lots of other options that are available in that sort of market, across your Fords and your Volkswagen Audi group. So there's lots of makes and models available. I think the big key is whether or not you're going to go into full electric or stay in hybrid is probably the bigger decision for lots of people.
Yeah, and also I suppose with the new electric, the EV, the grant that came out as well, you know, whether you might be able to avail of that.
Exactly, it's incredibly beneficial to move in that, and obviously there's more and more encouragement to go fully electric, obviously not without its problems. So of course, if you're making that jump, it's important to make sure that you know it'll suit your driving style.
The hatchback used to be a huge thing years ago.
Yeah, it was very good because at least you could put the seats down and your 5-seat car became almost like a minivan. So they were very popular, like your Golfs and Corollas. They were a very, very popular model. And saloons seem to be almost a thing of the past. Your traditional saloon, like your in Toyota, your Avensis or your Mondeo or those, they seem to be coming a little bit more less seen in the market, and all of the manufacturers seem to be moving towards this mini Jeep style, a bit more upright,
is
a bit of a higher seat position.
Driving an SUV,
I know,
Jeep.
And that's
every
it. The options
everyone
are getting,
I see in them.
The options are getting smaller. The footprint of cars is just getting bigger and bigger. Even a car that we would have seen traditionally, a Volkswagen Polo, now in today's money, is the same size or even bigger than a Volkswagen Golf would have been a mere 10 years ago. So the footprint of cars is just getting bigger and bigger now.
Right, another listener question for you. The low tyre pressure light came on yesterday. Could it just be heat related? When I checked them, they looked grand.
The temperature can be actually
like
a little bit
sensitive. That sounds like a knee solution to that issue.
I always use the same expression. It was like, up until a number of years ago, TPMS lights didn't exist. And what did you used to do? Get out and kick the tyres and make sure none were on the ground, and then go and actually check the tyre pressures in a petrol station or your good local independent tyre centre or independent garage.
They'll
check them for you.
When I turn the car on, a little orange spanner comes on the dashboard but turns off after 5 minutes of driving. What does it mean?
Generally, the spanner light is a service light, so a service and inspection light reminding you to get your car serviced. If it's over a year or 10,000 miles or 15,000 kilometres, that light will come on. It's like a little egg timer behind the dash. In other makes and models, Opel, Renault and some, the spanner is actually an indication of a low grade engine fault, so it's called a first stage service light. So that light is worthwhile checking out. If you know your car has only been serviced within the last year or 15,000 kilometres, then it is worthwhile getting into a garage and getting it scanned to see, is it actually an engine light? But a lot of the manufacturers do have a spanner for what's called a first stage service light.
087 1400 106 if you have a question for Joey Donnelly today. My car is starting to have a very damp smell. I've checked the coolant, the water, everything seems okay. What might it be?
If water ingress somewhere, so there's water getting into the car somewhere, depends again on the make and model. There's some very common issues with lots of the different brands, but generally dampness inside is the kind of laws of physics. If there is condensation inside your window on a cold winter's morning, you could be 95% sure there is water or damp inside the car. So you'd need to get a check to see. Usually it appears behind kind of passenger or driver's seat, because the water actually naturally flows towards that back footwell. So sometimes you mightn't think there's water in the floor, but if you take up your floor mats, put your hand and actually press and squeeze on the carpet, you might feel that bit of dampness. And then if you do feel that bit of dampness, get it in and get it checked.
Best car for a learner driver. I don't want them to have too much power, but I do want them to be safe.
Well, I think there's so much options.
I had a Polo.
Yeah, look, I think I've said this before. My younger sister had a blue Polo. She called it Polly, and it's a great starter car. There's lots of little 1 litre available options across all those groups. The, you know, the Skoda Fabia, Volkswagen Polo, Toyota Yaris. There's a million of them that you can choose from. I think staying in the 1 litre low powered. The issue is for if you're buying in kind of the last 10 years and trying to get something reasonably fresh to put under a kid's backside and get them to start learning, is there's very little manual options. So a lot of the kids now are having to learn in automatics because the trend of Japanese imports are really pushed towards automatics. So manual 1 litre, less than 5 or 6 year old vehicles are actually quite hard to come by. So you're kind of a little bit pigeonholed in terms of where you're shopping. So again, that's the discussion at home. Do you want your child to learn in an automatic, or would you like them to at least have the base knowledge of learning in a manual?
Yeah.
And then they can drive an automatic afterwards.
This texter bought an old car, but it says that the radio needs a code. Where would I get that?
Generally off the main dealer. If it's an older car, Renault, Nissan, or a few of the vehicle modules that are models that need radio codes, oftentimes the radio needs to come out to get a serial number, and then you'd ring the main dealer and they'll give you a code. They might charge you 20 or 30 or 40 quid to get a code. Oftentimes, get the service manual out. It's normally scribbled somewhere where someone has gotten a radio code before when the battery got disconnected, or sometimes you see them scribbled behind a sun visor. You'll see a four-digit code somewhere, but if you can't find it, again, you're good in independent supplier or your main dealer of the brand will be definitely be able to get it for you.
Hope and Joey can help. My toddler spilt milk in the car. We didn't realise. It's now stinking the car out with the heat. Any tips on getting the smell out?
Oh, it's brutal. It's the same thing as you'll have a million old wives' tales. It's the same as your carpet at home. The problem is it eats into the carpet and gets in the underlay underneath. So if it's really that bad, you might have to take the seats out and get the underlay taken up and treated. But all the wives' tales, was it bicarbonate of soda? Or which of the ones would you have put on
I'm
it
useless
to absorb
with this.
That? Or then if you get into a good valeting company, they might wet vac the carpet or wet vac the seats and really get it done, a good detailer into a valeter.
My battery went in the car last week after only driving it hours beforehand. I've since jumped it and it's running. Is it time for a new battery?
Yeah, well, there's simple tests can be done on that. So if it is the first time it's happened, generally we see flat batteries and that sort of occurrence, weak batteries happening in colder weather. It's not often happens in warmer weather. So if it happened and there wasn't a phone charger plugged in or nothing left on or in, or there's no lights left on, you can be fairly sure it needs a battery. There's plenty of battery suppliers and garages who'll be able to test the battery to see. There are some simple tests that you can put it under load and tell you if the battery is good or bad.
087 1400 106. Keep your WhatsApps coming in. This listener is thinking of buying, it's a Toyota RAV4, it's 2022, there's 200,000 kilometres on it. I've been charged €26,000 and I'm wondering if Joey thinks this is a good deal because I haven't a clue.
It's difficult. 200,000 kilometres on a 4-year-old vehicle is a lot of miles, if that's correct.
At 26 grand.
Like, again, it's very difficult to know the nuance of the deal in terms of money
what
wise.
Spec it is, or manual.
What I would say about the Toyota RAV4 is they are a very good car, and they are their tagline, Toyota, the best built cars in the world. They do stand up well in terms of the reliability stats. So they're a good buy in general. I don't know the numbers. And obviously 200,000 kilometres sounds like it's had a fairly hard life already. In 4 years, it's quite a high mileage, if that's correct.
If it has the full service warranty, probably worth throwing an eye on as well.
Again, making sure that it's still, I always say the same thing. If it's at 200,000 kilometres, it should have had at least 6, 7, 8 trips to the garage at this stage for regular maintenance at 15,000 kilometres. But that sounds like a bit of a unicorn car.
Declan has an X5, and yesterday a red teapot light came on. What should I do?
A red teapot light? That's an oil light that looks like it's an oil can. That's what it is. And I don't want to be disrespectful of a BMW X5, but an oil light, an oil pressure light coming on a BMW X5 can be trouble and fast. So I would say, I would hope he is a good mechanic who looks after his vehicle either through the main dealer or is independent.
Needs to go to the mechanic, does he?
Fast. An oil light, it might just be a top up. Check the oil level if you can at the side of the road, but start considering getting to the garage, because oil goes two places. It either goes out the bottom of it, it loses it out the bottom of the engine, or it consumes it internally, and that's a problem. So get to a garage.
Anne is wondering, her air conditioning no longer works for the last 2 years. It's in her Audi A3 Sportsback. Mm-hmm. How expensive is this to fix?
It can be anything, but I would hazard a guess that the actual condenser itself needs replacing and leaking. It would be quite common. We would see it across all makes and models. The VAG group, if Volkswagen Audi group, I keep saying the VAG group, sorry. An Audi, the condenser is probably leaking if it's 2016 or 17. So you could go and get it filled up with gas. asked to see, is the system working? They might put gas and dye in it. It'll cost you a couple of hundred quid, but that's just to test the theory. If the gas dissipates out of it and it's leaking rad, it'll need a new condenser, new gas. You could be spending anywhere from 600 or 700 quid up to 1,200 or 1,300 euros. If it's a compressor, it could be quite more significant, but I'd hazard a guess and say it needs a rad.
Right. Finally, should you be concerned about a drilling noise coming from your car? Asks this texter.
Short answer, yes.
Yeah, that's not my question, but it could well be.
I always ask people at the counter to explain the noise. Is it a humming? Is it a whirling? Is it a ticking? You'll be surprised the sort of people that we hear.
It sounds like a bomb.
Exactly, yeah. We do hear all sorts of noises across the counter, people trying to explain. It's like a woo-woo noise.
Brilliant. If it's making that, you need to get it seen by somebody. Joey Donnelly from Crofton Motors. Joey, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.